Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my home on the edge of the prairie. Out there, the fourth of Sunday of Lent was last week, and Easter is a couple of weeks away, so that snow, that big snow that they got on Thursday was really tough on people. It's just too much for some people. They went to pieces. They had a nervous breakdown. But they did it very quietly, as we were brought up to do. You know, they just went off by themselves. They closed the door, and they, you know, they screeched, or they kicked the wall, or maybe they bit themselves, or they got in the car, and they drove away off to a deserted place, and they grabbed hold of the steering wheel, and they shook it hard, and they screamed and yelled, and then they came back feeling sort of sheepish, and that was it. You know, they were all over it. The geese have arrived on the lake, even though the lake is frozen over with soft ice, and the geese were looking for open water and not finding it. They felt sort of foolish. Maybe they've heard that saying, you know, the sense that God gave geese, and so they were wondering, maybe their instinct was wrong or what, or they'd put the wrong guy up at the head of the V, you know, and but they did get to see Mr. Bergie walk out on the ice. Nobody's been out on that ice for weeks, for months. Well, weeks anyway. The fish houses were all brought in. But he was out for a walk. He drove his pickup out down by the lake, and he was going to take a brisk half-hour walk with his dog, Doug. And they were walking along the lake, and he looked out, and he saw an axe out there on the ice. And he already has axes, really, all that he would ever need, and yet, you know, it looked like a perfectly good axe, and the thought of getting one for free was overwhelming, and so he went out for it. It was about 25 feet out, and he walked out about 20 feet onto soft ice, and then he saw it was not an axe. It was a chunk of ice, and there was a stick there, and the shadow made it look like an axe handle, but he'd been fooled, and then he took two steps toward shore, and his feet sank into slush, and then he noticed that Doug was still on shore. The dog who follows him everywhere had not come out, and the look of worry and interest on the dog's face told Mr. Bergie that he was doomed. The dog knew that the man was going to sink into the ice, into the water. And he was already thinking about Bergie's death and where would he find his next meal ticket. Because he knows that Elsie does not care for him at all, so he should not go back home. And the dog, Mr. Bergie could see, was thinking about where he should go now to get something to eat. Mr. Bergie tried to stand very lightly on the ice. He tried to think light thoughts, and he slid his right foot forward and then his left foot forward, and they were sinking 2-3 inches into the slush, and he thought to himself, "You nitwit! You fool!" He could hear music playing on the radio in his pickup. A few minutes before, he'd been listening to the radio. It was playing Red Sails in the Sunset. And that would be the last song that he would ever hear. The dog was a genius compared to him. The dog had stayed on shore. And then his feet hit a kind of a firm spot in the ice, and he stayed right there. He's wearing this heavy snowmobile suit, and he knew that the moment he went through the ice into the water, he'd weigh 300 pounds, and he would no longer be able to pull himself out at all. And so he would drown at the same time as he was dying of hypothermia. Terrible, horrible combination. He had had an argument with Elsie when he left the house. He could remember that very well. And she said, "What in the world are you going out in that snowmobile suit for? It stinks of whiskey and cigar smoke, and it's not that cold out." And the way she said it made it necessary for him to then wear the snowmobile suit. He could not then take it off, and so here he was. So she was, in a way, responsible for his death. But would she accept responsibility? No, 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 no. When he died, no, she'd be telling everybody, well, I told him not to wear that snowmobile suit, and she'd be sad, of course, but she'd get over it, and she would sell his entire license plate collection. She would sell his entire collection of Life magazines, a complete, except for three issues, a complete collection worth a lot of money. She would sell all of that. She'd sell the house, probably, and she would move to Minneapolis, and she would probably move into that same senior high-rise with her sister Lillian, and the sister would take her into the book club, you know, and take her to church, Presbyterian, but nonetheless, and take her into the square dancing club, the Happy Hoofers, and there she would meet some guy who was, you know, fun to dance with and so forth, and pretty soon they'd be a couple, and then they would be wearing matching outfits, and then she would be wearing his ring, and then they would be, you know, he'd be staying over at night, and he's probably one of those heavy-set guys who's kind of light on his feet, a former football player or something. Probably Brian would be his name, and his staying overnight with Elsie didn't bother Mr. Berge so much as the fact that Brian would be using his tools, his set of hammers, his good hammers, and his axes as well. And he'd be splitting kindling, you know, to put in the fireplace so that he and Elsie could snuggle. And suddenly Mr. Berge wished that he would take that axe and just split his own foot, just split it in. But no, that wouldn't be good, because then Elsie would just feel sorry for him, and it would draw them even closer. No, Berge said, I'm not gonna give up my place to Brian. I'm gonna make it into shore. He thought for a moment about going on all fours to spread the weight around. And then he said, no, I'm not gonna crawl. I'm going to go in like a man. And he took three long strides, and his right foot went way down into the water, but he pulled it back out, and he took four more long strides, and he was on shore, and the dog leaped up on him as if he were happy to see him. Mr. Berge said, you thought I was a goner, didn't you? And just for that, you can walk home. You're not coming in the truck with me. He got in the truck, and he headed into town. Radio was playing, and he drove into town. He drove past the Good Shepherd home. He could see the rescue squad was there, and the EMTs were wheeling somebody on a gurney out of the Good Shepherd home, somebody who had been zipped up into a black body bag, a skinny person. It wasn't him. He was alive. He walked into the Chatterbox Cafe, and there was Elsie sitting there at the counter. And she looked at him and she said, how come you got your pants all wet? He said, Doug walked out on the ice. And I deliberated, but I thought, you know, I can't let him drown. So I went out and got him. And so that's how that happened, he said. But I'm going to go home now. And how about you come with me and we'll take a nap. At first, she didn't get that. And then she looked at him and she rolled her eyes. And she said, I just got dressed. You mean I've got to go home and get undressed? He said, I'll see you there. And he got into his pickup and he headed slowly towards home, and he looked in the rearview mirror, and there was Elsie coming out the door and getting into her car. This is going to be different now. Everything's going to be different. It's been a hard winter, but he survived. Now he's going to build that brick patio out behind the house, and he's going to cover it with a big white sheet of canvas, just like he saw in House Beautiful. And he's going to put up a couple of chaise lounges, and he and Elsie are going to sit out there, and he's going to buy a whole case of wonderful white wine and put it on ice. And they're going to sit out there on the chaise lounges, and they're going to tell each other their deepest thoughts, the longings of their heart. It's going to be different. It was a hard winter. It was a brutal winter. Now we can say it. We had to be stoical before, but we don't have to be anymore. It was a hard, hard, long terrible winter. And we are going to leap up now, even higher, for having gone through this. Adversity breeds joy. That's the bottom line. Adversity is good for us. We're going to fly. We're going to fly. Those of you who've been living in comfort and luxury all winter down in Florida, Arizona, we feel sorry for you. What do you have to look forward to? Just more of the same. No. We're going to rise. Easter is coming. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, all the children are above average.